Argentina's economy is set for a Milei-style makeover. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for tuning in. Javier Milei has been elected Argentina's new president. His supporters have been celebrating at his headquarters.
Presidente electo, Javier Milei!
Many struggling with the country's economic crisis supported his radical economic proposals, drawing comparisons to former US President Donald Trump. The BBC's Gideon Long has been following events. Was this a surprise win?
Well, it was a surprise in the sense that Mr. Milei lost in the first round, or he came second in the first round back in October. So in that sense, it was a surprise. But since then, he's picked up important support, notably from the former president, Mauricio Macri, and from Patricia Bullrich, another conservative politician. So in that sense, it wasn't a surprise, and it did look like it was going to be a close-run thing. I think the biggest surprise, really, is the margin of Mr. Milei's victory. He took 56% of the vote in the runoff to Sergio Massa's 44%. So that gives him a real mandate to rule.
And he ran on economic policies. Remind us of what they were.
Well, his main policy is tackling inflation. He says that has to be Argentina's biggest priority. It's now more than 140%. But there are other economic problems too. 40% of Argentina's population now live in poverty. There are strict capital controls which have muzzled businesses. Argentina has a $44 million IMF program. That's the biggest IMF program anywhere in the world. And it looks as though it's heading into recession. It's likely to head into recession within the next few weeks. So a raft of economic problems that Mr. Milei has to face.
Milei, he also wanted to get rid of the peso and bring in dollarization. I mean, does this victory now pave the way for a dollar zone, and how would that work?
Well, he said that he wants to ditch the peso. What he actually means is he wants currency liberalization. So he says he's not going to ban the peso, but he just says that everybody should be free to use whatever currency they want. So he's actually said in some parts of the country, close to the border with Brazil, they might use the Brazilian currency. Or close to the border with Chile, they might use the Chilean currency. But the likelihood is that most people will use the dollar rather than the peso. And actually, that is de facto what is already happening. Most Argentines save in dollars. Contracts when you're buying a house, for example, in Argentina will often be done in dollars because the peso is so unstable. So it's currency liberalization. And part of that as well is Mr. Milei's pledge to get rid of the central bank. Again, he doesn't actually mean he's going to abolish the central bank. What it means is that the central bank will no longer be able to print money. And he says that that should help to quell inflation.
Okay. Gideon Long, thanks for joining us in Marketplace.
Thank you.
Now, let's do the numbers. Shares in the German pharma giant Bayer plunged 18% after the drug maker announced that a late-stage trial for a blood-thinning drug for heart disease failed a major test. And the boss of Australia's second biggest telecom company, Optus, Kelly Bayer Rosmarin, has quit after a major internet breakdown left 10 million people without internet and stopped emergency service calls. Now, the latest on the OpenAI drama is that Sam Altman and Greg Brockman are making a big move to Microsoft. More on that from David Brancaccio in our later programmes. An investigation by BBC News has found a black market trade in delivery app accounts which allows children to sign up as riders. The accounts are bought and sold on social media with no identity checks. The BBC's Angus Crawford reports.
Hello, I wanted to be a millionaire.
Yeah.
whatever it took, you just wanted to earn money and deal and hustle.
That's Patrick and his wife Preta. They're talking about Preta's son Leo, who died this year, while working underage as a delivery rider for Deliveroo. He started at 15, was dead at 17, killed on a borrowed motorbike.
No one's accountable. Not at all for anything.
They just take the money. It's not right.
The fact is, you have to be 18 to work as a rider for Deliveroo, but no one ever checked.
They don't want the financial cost that goes along with having a payroll department, a personnel department and everything else that goes with it, do they?
So how did Leo get round the rules? The answer is simple. Substitution.
When you work with Deliveroo, you can also appoint a substitute.
Deliveroo lets drivers share their accounts. If you can't do a day, someone else can take your place. But it's up to the original account holder to check their substitute is over 18, has no convictions, and is allowed to work. The company doesn't do the vetting. But that system is open to abuse. It's a busy lunchtime on this high street in West London, a busker serenading the crowds, and there's already a couple of mopeds lined up outside the takeaways here. None of them have got any markings. It's not clear who they're working for. But we found a thriving underground trade on social media. Accounts for all the major delivery apps for sale or rent to anyone who's prepared to pay, both adults and children. We set up a social media account, pretending to be a 16-year-old schoolboy, and messaged some of the sellers. There were plenty of them. Age doesn't matter, said one. I don't really care, bro. They don't check, said another. And all this because of substitution, which all the big delivery apps allow. It's not just children who can rent these accounts. There's increasing evidence of adults illegally working for delivery firms. Deliveroo told us it takes its responsibilities extremely seriously and demands riders must have the right to work in the UK, and says it takes a zero-tolerance approach towards any rider who fails to meet their legal obligations. But that comes as little comfort for Leo's family. I'm the BBC's Angus Crawford for Marketplace.
And finally, a rare bottle of Macallan 1926 single malt whiskey has been sold for $2.7 million, breaking the record for the most expensive wine or spirit sold at auction. Sold by Sotheby's, its head of whiskey describes it as very rich with dried fruit, spice and wood. Chin chin. In the UK, I'm Leanna Byrne with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.